Welcome to the Book of Mormon podcast. My name's Kyle, and I'm just a guy who really enjoys reading the Book of Mormon. As we journey through the text together, I'll do my best to help you stay on top of all the characters and storylines that are going on. But if you have any doctrinal or historical questions, you can get those answered in real time by reaching out on mormon.org/chat. Today we're looking at 1 Nephi chapter 20. Here Nephi takes a break from everything else and just quotes some Isaiah. He gives us a couple of full chapters. Chapter 20 and chapter 21 are essentially the same as Isaiah as it appears in your King James version of the Bible, Isaiah 48 and 49. Now, Isaiah is notoriously difficult to understand, and later on we'll find that it's not just us that has trouble understanding. Nephi finds that his people have trouble understanding too. But Nephi is smart, and he really gets Isaiah, and he's really good at explaining what it means. The thing about Nephi is his favorite way to teach Isaiah is to drop a really long quote like this on us, a couple of chapters, and then give us a long explanation afterward. The vision I get in my mind is of someone stepping up to a pulpit in a church, reading a passage of scripture, and then delivering a sermon on it, which is a fine way to teach. It's a fine way to teach, but the downside for us here on and you listening, the Book of Mormon podcast, this is it makes it really hard to go verse by verse and explain what's going on, because that's not how Nephi teaches it. He doesn't read a couple of verses of Isaiah and explain it and then read a couple more verses. He gives us entire chapters and then gives us lengthy explanations. But I have read Nephi's explanation of this passage, and I think I understand it well enough that if we take it slow and talk about it as we go, I think we're going to do just fine. We're going to make it through. So let's just jump right into verse 1 and do the best we can. Hearken and hear this, O house of Jacob, who are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah or out of the waters of baptism, who swear by the name of the Lord and make mention of the God of Israel, yet they swear not in truth nor in righteousness. Nevertheless, they call themselves of the holy city, but they do not stay themselves upon the God of Israel, who is the Lord of hosts. Yea, the Lord of hosts is his name. So Israel is chosen. They are the chosen people, but they aren't relying on God. They don't stay themselves upon the God of Israel. So they're chosen, but they're sort of wandering away. Verse 3. Behold, I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them. I did show them suddenly, and I did it because I knew that thou art obstinate, and thy neck is an iron sinew, and thy brow brass. And I have even from the beginning declared to thee, before it came to pass, I showed them thee. And I showed them for fear lest thou should say, mine idol hath done them, and my graven image, and my molten image hath commanded them. So here God is saying he's revealed things to Israel. He's taught them some stuff, and he did it clearly, so that they wouldn't be able to say, oh, it's my idol that did this for me. He did it in such a way that they would have to admit that it was God doing it. But thou art obstinate, and thy neck is an iron sinew, and thy brow brass. They are, even though they see very clearly that this is from God, they are denying it. And this reminds me a bit of Laman and Lemuel, who we've been hanging out with in the Book of Mormon up to this point. Verse 6. Thou hast seen and heard all this, and will ye not declare them? And that I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things, and thou didst not know them. They are created now, and not from the beginning, even before the day when thou heardest them not, they were declared unto thee, lest thou should say, behold, I knew them. Yea, and thou heardest not, yea, thou knewest not, yea, from that time thine ear was not opened, for I knew that thou wouldst deal very treacherously, and was called a transgressor from the womb. So God revealed new things to them, things they would not be able to say, yeah, I already knew that, but they wouldn't listen. Verse 9, nevertheless, for my name's sake will I defer mine anger, for my praise will I refrain from thee, that I cut thee not off. For behold, I have refined thee, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, yea, for mine own sake will I do this, for I will not suffer my name to be polluted, and I will not give my glory unto another. So God isn't giving up on Israel. He's made promises to them. He's going to be good to his word for his own sake, for the reputation of his name, it sounds like. He's not going to abandon or destroy them. Verse 12. Hearken unto me, O Jacob, and Israel my called, for I am he. I am the first, and I am also the last. Mine hand hath also laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. I call unto them, and they stand up together. All ye, assemble yourselves and hear. Who among them hath declared these things unto them? The Lord hath loved him. Yea, and he will fulfill his word which he hath declared by them. And he will do his pleasure on Babylon, and his arm shall come upon the Chaldeans. So, God is powerful. He's talking about how he's the first and the last. He's created everything. He has power over everything. And he is going to punish Israel's enemies, I think. Babylon and the Chaldeans. I'm not really up on my Israelite history, but based on the fact that he says he's going to do his pleasure on Babylon, and his arm shall come upon the Chaldeans, I think that means these people are going to be punished. This is reinforced in a few verses. We'll get there. Verse 15. Also saith the Lord, I the Lord, yea, I have spoken. Yea, I have called him to declare, and I have brought him, and he shall make his way prosperous. Come ye near unto me. I have not spoken in secret. From the beginning, from the time that it was declared, have I spoken. And the Lord God and his Spirit hath sent me. And thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I have sent him, the Lord thy God, who teacheth thee to profit, who leadeth thee by the way thou shouldst go, hath done it. One of the things I find really confusing about Isaiah is I never know who I is. Sometimes I is Isaiah, sometimes I is the Lord, sometimes it's somebody else, and you get quotes within quotes within quotes, and it gets a little confusing. Here, I think sometimes I is the Lord in these few verses, and sometimes it's probably Isaiah, and I think sometimes him is also Isaiah. God is saying he sent somebody, I just assume that's Isaiah, to declare these things to the people and to teach them how to be prosperous and happy. Verse 18, Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments! Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also had been as the sand, the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me. So here, they're basically saying, if you had only listened, you would have been so much happier. You would have been blessed. It occurs to me, there's probably a very good reason Nephi is reading this particular passage to his brothers. He doesn't rub that in their faces in the explanation we get in a couple chapters, but it seems pretty clear to me now as we're going through it. Verse 20, Go ye forth of Babylon, flee ye from the Chaldeans. With a voice of singing declare ye, tell this, utter to the end of the earth. Say ye, The Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob. And they thirsted not. He led them through the deserts. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out. And notwithstanding he hath done all this, and greater also, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. So God is patient. God blesses us. There's an allusion here to Moses leading the Israelites through the desert and hitting the rock and water coming out so they had something to drink. God can do anything. He'll take care of those that love him. But there is no peace unto the wicked. So that's the end of this first piece of Isaiah. Chapter 21 continues the rest of this quote.